Well, through high school football season, I had to go to the chiropractor like 4 times a week just to be able to play. When I hyperextended my elbow, like I had to get ultrasound on it where they just like shoot rain beams into your leg or whatever.
Rain beams?
I don't know. They shoot something into
your arm.
Weren't
you there for it?
What's up? This is Movies On Up. The only way out is all in. I'm all in with my co-host, Mr. Ryan.
And I am looking for the way out.
Yes, he has been for 5 years now. We are Movies On Up. The tagline for this week, the only way out is all in, which is a great tagline for a gambling movie about a gambler. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter @moviesonup. If you are right and we pick you,
it's a safe bet that we will send
a
prize package to you.
It's a safe bet we'll send a prize package to you.
I was storing that up while you were doing the intro.
While I was rambling. Mm-hmm. The House comes out this week starring Amy Poehler, Will Ferrell, Jason Mantzoukas, where they open a illegal casino in their house to put their child through college. So we got to thinking, as do favorite gambling movies.
Because doing a movie episode on House was not possible, or House 2, the second story.
My original thought was, let's just do movies that have houses in them. And that didn't work, so there probably would have been too much crossover. So, this was a fun list. Like, it was weird. Yes. I left off two really, really obvious ones.
There's a ton of really obvious ones. You know what I mean? Like,
but
really
I mean, for me,
from a personal
standpoint, I left off two that would probably be my one and two.
My number
one. Just because
one,
I don't view them as gambling movies. Like, gambling's a part that kind of, in one of them, it gets the plot going. And the other one, it kind of closes the plot. I didn't want to stick to just card stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of card stuff. So, I mean, it was an interesting list. It was fun to do.
I like all the movies a lot. A bit like crime movies, I guess, or heist movies. Turns out, a lot of movies about gamblers or gambling, I tend to like. I don't gamble very much at all, but I do like these movies. So I felt like there were a lot of obvious ones, and some of them are on my list, some of them are not. But I did take off my number one, which has been my number one on other lists before. It certainly features gambling. And then I replaced it with a movie that was on my also-rans, only because I don't feel that it's full-on about gambling. But I think the gambling plays enough a part in the story.
And that's,
it's at a pivotal point in the story where I thought it was worthy of being
put on
the list.
Where I struggled with is because there are some where like gambling is there. Like I said, the two that I left off, gambling has a part in it, but I don't consider them gambling movies. I consider them something bigger. But I could justify having them on here because they obviously have gambling. I try to do ones where gambling was more of the center point.
And there are plenty to choose
from. There's plenty to choose from. And this is the kind of list where we could forget we did it and a year and a half from now do it again and probably have a completely different list. This is one of those where I know I missed some. I had to have missed some because it's so...
And you only did five.
Yeah, it's so wide. And I mean, I have 8 also-rans, so I mean...
Some of my also-rans are on your list because I've seen the first two movies that you looked up.
This is a fun list, and it was cool because it's one of those genres that, like, I don't really think about. Like, what are my favorite gambling movies? And then you look them up, it's like, I like a lot of
these. Oh,
these
are my
movies.
Favorite gambling movies, yeah.
Yeah. So, Ryan, you're number 5.
And my number 5 favorite gambling movie is one that I feel like is in your wheelhouse, and it's because it's late 90s. It is John Dahl's Rounders, starring Matt Damon, Edward Norton, John Malkovich. Hell, I like Matt Damon, and Edward Norton is pretty much good in everything. Malkovich's Russian accent is horrible, but I think this is a pretty fun movie. And as fun as trying to get your scumbag buddy out of a debt that he racked up while risking your own life and all of your money, as much fun as that can be, it is that. Damon, I think, is the kind of gambler that you kind of want to root for. They are generally the protagonists in these movies, and after he loses big early, he kind of gives up the life to focus on becoming a lawyer, much to the delight of his girlfriend. But even after he gets sucked back in, and it wouldn't really be a gambling movie if he didn't get sucked back in, he refuses to take any shortcuts as his scumbag ex-con Worm is trying to get him to do. On the one hand, it's a great excuse for him to get back into something that he loves. On the other hand, sticking his neck out for Worm is pretty selfless, and it's kind of another reason to root for him. He's kind of like the white hat gambler cowboy on a list that is kind of full of black hat gamblers. They're not as much fun to root for as Matt Damon, but you're there with him the whole time, even after Worm basically is like, hey man, we're never going to get this done. You should just get the hell out of here. He perseveres, and to the end, you know, we're rooting for him. We're rooting for that Russian to have to give that man his money.
I do like this movie. I think the average person, like our age or so, when you ask me favorite gambling movies, I think this would be one of the go-tos.
Yeah.
If we asked 20 people, I think the majority of them would go to this one right away because it is one of the higher profile ones. It was one of my also-rans. I like it, but not as much as my other five. My number five is from a director that I used to really love. His last couple haven't really done it that much, but this is the debut from Paul Thomas Anderson from 1996. It's Heart Eight. It was not my first Paul Thomas Anderson. I was introduced through Boogie Nights, Magnolia. I think it was after those two that I went back to watch it. Well, Punch Drunk Love. I went back after that. It's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie before I knew what a Paul Thomas Anderson movie was. But by the time I watched it, I knew what a Paul Thomas Anderson movie was. It's John C. Reilly, down on his luck, runs into Philip Baker Hall, an older guy who's been gambling his whole life. That's just how he makes a living. Kind of takes John C. Reilly under his wing, turns him into a professional gambler that can get what he needs. Gwyneth Paltrow plays a cocktail waitress slash hooker. Sammy Jackson messes things up for him. It has Philip Seymour Hoffman in it as well. It's not action-packed. Even something like Rounders is more exciting and fast-moving than this. It's 100% a Paul Thomas Anderson movie that's driven on characters, and Philip Baker Hall and John C. Reilly are these great characters, and Gwyneth Paltrow, I don't praise all that much, but she's pretty good in this. It is a great director who writes great dialogue and writes great characters and gets great performances, getting all of that before anybody really knew who he was. And if you like Paul Thomas Anderson movies and you haven't watched it, because it was a smaller release, it's definitely worth going back. It's very much a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, but from the era that I liked Paul Thomas Anderson movies.
My number four does feature a, I guess you could call her a cocktail waitress slash hooker. Maria Bello plays one in Wayne Kramer's The Cooler from 2003, starring William H. Macy as the aforementioned Cooler and Alec Baldwin. This one's not really about a gambler. Macy's Bernie Lutz was a gambler at one point, and that's how he finds himself indebted to Baldwin's character. He now works as a cooler, trying to put the whammy on gamblers that are doing well on the casino, in a job I feel like would be perfect for me. Someone who doesn't gamble because I'm not any good at it. I don't have the luck. It would be great to be able to go up to somebody that is winning and basically get paid to make them stop winning. Macy's great. He's completely beaten down, and he looks like the kind of sad sack that you would expect to basically have completely given up on life and have essentially the worst luck in the world, or at least the worst luck in Vegas. But by the time we get to really see how the story progresses, and there's a couple different plot lines that are going, Ron Livingston shows up as this college new smart Vegas guy that's trying to like family
modernize,
right, yeah. Modernize and family Vegas up. And then you have Baldwin, who kind of represents like the old Vegas where it was four degenerate gamblers and don't bring your family here because it's all about gambling and making as much money for casinos as possible. He's great as the old Vegas kind of bad guy. And then you add in Maria Bello's storyline where she, I guess, shows us that by being attracted to William H. Macy, his luck is changing at some point. I really like his character. It's kind of a different take on a gambling movie because the main character is basically employed by the casino just to make sure that you don't win. So we get to see gambling from that side, the casino trying to make sure you don't walk out with all their money. And then just the idea of, you know, New Vegas versus Old Vegas. I don't even know why I ended up watching it. I think it might have been in that William H. Macy phase where I was just watching everything.
You just wanted
to
see Maria Bello tell him you have a nice cock.
Or
I think it was you have a great cock.
I think that was it, yeah. And I was not disappointed
this
by that line or his cock.
This was my number four, and you originally said it. I thought about swapping it out for one of my also-rans, but I'm going to keep it there. because I really like this movie. It does have a lot going for it. Like, it's not so much about the gambling as it is about the world of gambling.
It's like the business of gambling.
The business of gambling, yeah. And the Alec Baldwin, who has the mob ties working with them, and Livingston coming in and oblivious to that kind of, and just wants to run it as a business. William H. Macy is great in this. If for some reason I thought I remembered him being nominated for an Oscar. This movie did get an Oscar nomination, but it was Alec Baldwin for Best Supporting. So
which, you know,
he's really good.
Yes.
But I thought William H. Macy should be nominated. I looked up Golden Globes, 2 acting nominations, Alec Baldwin for Best Supporting and Maria Bello. And I can't argue those. It's just weird that he carries this movie. It's his movie, and he's really, really good in it. And I feel like this was a switch for William H. Macy. I think his career kind of, he's been around forever, but I feel like this turned him into kind of leading man for a bit, to where he wasn't really in that kind of role before. Because he did it, he was really good. Really, really like this movie. It's a fascinating world and how it's portrayed, and I just really, really like that about it.
So that brings me to my number 3, and it is a movie that I've had on a list before, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention it, because it is probably my favorite Paul Newman performance. It is Robert Rosen's The Hustler from 1961, also starring Jackie Gleason and Piper Laurie. This is not what I would call a happy movie. Gambling movies rarely are. Like I mentioned, I brought this up a couple times because I like what Paul Newman does in this movie. For most of his career, he's the handsome, blue-eyed hero of any given movie who's...
Oh, those blue eyes.
Preach, who's almost infallible in any of his roles, even if he's in jail for basically just stealing change out of a parking meter. He's still a guy that you're going to root for because he's still the hero. He still carries himself in a very heroic manner, and he's like the ideal guy. But in this movie, he's a complete scumbag. But in a world filled with perverted, twisted cripples, he is just one of many. You kind of ride the roller coaster with Fast Eddie in this. He's up and he should quit. He's down, and he should quit, but he doesn't. We see relatively early on that perhaps the best thing he's got going in his life is Piper Laurie's Sarah, who is equally as sick. She's an alcoholic, and perhaps through her disease, she's able to kind of spot his shortcomings and try and keep him in check and help him control it. In the end, as much as it is about the money for Eddie, just trying to shed this born loser persona that he's been dubbed with throughout the movie and probably throughout his life, and to be able to, from a competition standpoint, beat Fats and be the best pool player around. While they are gambling, it's less about the money at stake and more about the honor, I guess, honor amongst thieves, that kind of generates the tension in this movie, and which I do think there's a lot. There's always money on it. And I guess even despite the fact that Eddie's a terrible person, you still want him to win, I guess, because it's sort of an underdog story at that point. But of all the movies on my list, for me, this one has the most tension. And in the way they shoot these pool matches, I think the first one with Minnesota Fats, I think they play for like 24 hours, like an entire day. And you can just see it wear on the guys, but they just keep trading blows back and forth. And you can really see it go either way. And in many cases, he is up a ton of money. He's down all that money. And it is quite the roller coaster ride. One that even by the time it's over, you're not really sure who won or what they won. But I really like Paul Newman in this movie, so I couldn't leave it off my list completely.
My number 3, like your number 3, takes us away from the card aspect of gambling and the casino gambling. Mine goes into sports gambling, and it's a... based on the book about one of the most famous gambling scandals in all of history from 1988, directed and adapted by John Sayles. It is 8 Men Out, starring John Cusack, Clifton James, Michael Lerner, Christopher Lloyd, John Mahoney, Charlie Sheen, David Strathairn, D.B. Sweeney, Michael Rooker, about the Chicago Black Sox, the underpaid baseball players who were best team in the world at the time, went to the World Series, and were talked into losing it for money. It's very much a baseball movie, but it's very much a gambling movie, because the whole thing...
That's what drives the plot.
That's what drives the plot is that they are in the World Series. They have to lose this best of nine series without making it too obvious. And throwing sports is always, I don't feel like we hear about it as much as we used to. I feel like there was a phase in the 90s where people wanted to accuse people of throwing games. And
there was like the whole Donaghy thing, the NBA ref that was on the take.
And there were, in movies and stuff, there were plots and about trying to get people to throw games.
Point shaving scandals. I think former Cav, I think it was Hot Rod Williams, got busted when he was at Tulane for point shaving.
Correctly. So, I mean, it's something that's fascinating because you look at basketball or football or these sports as like, they're out there for passion and for love of the sport. But then Shoeless Joe Jackson, who was one of the best players in the time.
I mean, a Hall of Famer worthy career.
Yeah. And then just they weren't making enough money and they wanted to make extra money. So they were willing to do that. And it's fascinating. And it's a really good baseball movie. Like the baseball in it's really good. It feels authentic. They have the actors, but everybody else was pretty much... This was filmed in Indiana, so I knew a lot about it growing up. It was mostly like minor league or amateur baseball players that were all the extras and stuff. So the sports aspect of it felt good. We talked about in a previous episode about how that can take you out of a movie. It's good. Like, it's a different gambling movie because it isn't your card sharks and your mob. Well, I mean, it did have the mob.
Yeah.
It's just a different angle of it. And this was one of the last ones that came to mind, but I definitely wanted to put it on the list just to mix it up a little bit.
That's certainly a good call. It is absolutely a gambling movie. I have no qualms with it being on the list at all. My number two, I don't think you can have any qualms with The Gambler being on my list, but it is Carl Reese's Gambler from 1974, not the
Marky Mark one, right? That the tagline was for this week.
Exactly, not that one. It is the James Caan, Paul Sorvino, a Lauren Hutton movie. The goal of gambling movies, as I see it, excluding some things like 8 Men Out, is to rack up as much debt as you can, then spend the rest of the movie in some type of mad dash to get everyone paid off. What makes Axel Fried in The Gambler probably the best example of an actual gambler is that he is truly a sick individual. He racks up debt right from the beginning, gets bailed out, racks up the debt again, concocts this crazy scheme to get him out of debt. It works before quite literally gambling with his own life for no good reason other than just because he likes the thrill of it, that there may be some blood involved, quite literally, as it comes to the end. We usually like rooting for these characters like Damon and Rounders. He's a good guy. You want to root for him because if he can just get out of this mess, everything will work out fine. If Damon can just not get killed by John Malkovich, you know, he could end up living his dream and going and playing in the World Series of Poker. With Cans Freed, you know that whatever mess he's in, even if he gets out, he will undoubtedly find his way into just as big of a mess, if not a bigger mess, which is probably the most accurate description of someone with that sickness. They just don't know when to stop. Gambling's not glamorized here. It is shown for what it is, a sickness that will ruin your relationships on its way to ruining your entire life. And I guess we're left in a place with this one. And I've seen both of them. I like the Wahlberg one. I think it ends a bit more uplifting than this. We're left where, speaking of point shaving, he concocts a point shaving scheme that works. He gets bailed out and basically just picks a fight with a pimp in a back alley, a knife fight, just for the hell of it. And after he survives the knife fight, he hasn't learned his lesson. He's gone nowhere. He's a shithead, and you're just like, ah, man, I just watched an hour and a half where characters generally go on some kind of arc. He doesn't. Same place at the beginning as he is at the end.
My number two, you mentioned Rounders is right in my wheelhouse because it's late 90s. It's a crime movie. The reason Rounders didn't resonate with me as much is because right before it in 1998, a Clive Owen movie directed by Mike Hodges came out called Croupier. And I was obsessed with this movie. It was for me. Like, it was a crime movie, essentially, centered around Clive Owen. I became obsessed with Clive Owen. I wanted him as Bond, because this is about the time that they were redoing Bond. A fantastic movie. Clive Owen is a writer who's kind of struggling. His dad sets him up with a job as a croupier at a casino, and it just screws up his life completely. It's not from the gambling side. This is another one where like the cooler is not so much about the gambling, but about that world. Croupier is this very same thing. He works in the casino. He has his girlfriend at home, but then he has this gambler that he meets who kind of starts screwing things up. He befriends people that he shouldn't befriend, pulls a job he shouldn't have. It's a slow mover. It's not an action-packed movie, but it's a phenomenal movie. Lots of twists and turns. Like, it gets dark. Like, it straight up goes dark. At the end, you're not sure really if he is better off than he was at the beginning. Like, he is, but is he really? Was it worth what he went through to get there? Nice twists and turns and stuff. And it's just, it's a really, really, really cool movie that I absolutely love. And I love watching Clive Owen act. Like, he's one of those that pretty much anything he's in, I just think he is so... Dan Stevens now reminds me a lot of Clive Owen because there's just that intensity where, like, no matter what they're doing, it's just... there's this intensity going on with everything they do.
And the jawlines.
The jawlines, the handsomeness. Yeah. This is peak Clive Owen. Like, this is what introduced me to Clive Owen. And he's great in this movie. And it's a great crime, casino, gambling movie.
My number one is probably the only movie that I would acquiesce if you wanted to argue with me that it's not a gambling movie. And I kind of went back and forth with this for a long time. I was going to put The Sting on because I love The Sting. I've had it on number one for a lot of lists. I think we did con movies, and it is absolutely a con movie. But they're trying to con a gambler, so they end up gambling quite a bit in that movie, and I love that. But that's been on my list. So I had an also-ran that just kind of popped up, and it was an also-ran because there's not a lot of gambling in it. But I really, really like the movie, and I sort of talked myself into putting Barry Levinson's Rain Man from 1988 as my number one, starring the Rain Man himself, Dustin Hoffman, Tom Cruise, and Valeria Golino. This isn't about gambling, obviously. It's about the relationship or lack thereof between the two brothers. But I feel like the casino scene does play a large role in the movie, which does hinge on the relationship between Ray and Charlie. For most of the movie, Charlie sees Ray as an inconvenience and or a walking pile of money that he needs to get out of the hole that he already dug himself. And then he sees the skills that Ray has with numbers and he becomes more of a tool. And that's when this plot to get him out of his debt, I guess for lack of a better word, the kidnapping part didn't work. So now I'm going to take him to Vegas and we're going to have him play blackjack and get me out of debt there. Even when the scene starts, they're still not on the best of terms. But by the time Raymond basically is able to bail him out, just bail him out, you can tell that the relationship, the dynamic there, had switched. Whereas in The Gambler, the characters, none of them have any... well, James Caan has no arc at all. I love watching the arcs for Raymond and Charlie. I think they're great, and you see that there has been some progress made there, and it's, I would say this movie's more of a road trip movie than it is a gambling movie, because they do spend most of it on the road from, I think, Cincinnati back to Los Angeles or wherever Charlie was from. I think the characters here are great, and it is as much as James Caan is trying to figure out, all right, well, I'm in debt from another gambling thing, what way can I cheat my way into getting money? That's basically what Charlie's doing here. He's behind on some money he got from importing Lamborghinis or something. So to dig himself out, he's trying to leverage his brother. And at that point, he's just leveraged. But then by the end of it, he certainly gets out of it. But there's a bit of a relationship there. And I really, really like this movie an awful lot. I like watching Dustin Hoffman on screen. I think he's phenomenal. And Tom Cruise is really good as well. And that chemistry between those two, it's their movie, and they do a fantastic job.
My number one is a movie that I absolutely love. I try to fit it on any list I can. I know I've talked about it before, but I didn't want to leave it off just because I don't feel like it's one of those movies that everybody talks about, but I love it so much. So I will talk about 1992's Digstown any chance I get, starring James Wood and Louis Gossett Jr., Bruce Dern, Oliver Platt, Heather Graham. I love this movie. James Woods is just a con man. That's all he is a con man. He gets released from prison, ends up in the town of Digstown, which is pretty much owned by Bruce Dern's John Gillen. James Woods cons a few people, tricks them, and Bruce Dern decides Digstown's a huge boxing town, makes a bet with James Woods that he can't find a boxer that can knock out 10 Digstown boxers in 24 hours, and that's the plot. So it's James Woods goes and finds Louis Gossett Jr.'s honey, Roy Palmer, who is now 48, long retired, and it takes place leading up to the 24 hours and then during the 24 hours where he has to fight 10 men and knock them all out. I love this movie so much. I'm not a big James Woods fan. He's perfect in this movie. Bruce Dern is the perfect villain in this movie. And Louis Gossett Jr. is just charming and likable and charismatic. And then Oliver Platt is the sidekick. And then Heather Graham, very young Heather Graham. There's so much I love about it. It's funny. It gets dark at times. Like, it's very much a gambling movie because the whole thing is predicated on this one bet between these two men. But it's got the darkness of a crime movie. It's got the fun of a lighthearted, like, sports movie. It's got the decent boxing. Like, the boxing is pretty good in it, considering the circumstances of the plot. But I just love this movie so much. And the second we decided we were doing gambling, like, this is the first one that came to my mind. And it's like, oh, I can't not do this movie. It much also rans for you, or
a couple. Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking
those
Barrels.
Those are the two I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, I love those two. I could have put them both. I would have put them.
They
would have
been my
there,
one too.
Yeah, and Snatch, absolutely. Like, you talk about fixing a baseball game, fixing the fights with Brad Pitt. That makes it a gambling movie.
Yeah, and that's why, like, that. It's part of the plot, but that's not the plot. So I left it off. Just like Lock,
right.
Stock, it's all kicked in motion by him losing the rigged card game.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's very much about gambling, but I like all my other movies that I feel like we've talked about, Snatch, Lock, Stock, so much that I okay leaving them off, because I figured
sure.
we would mention them as also rans and talk about them that way.
One of the obvious ones for me that I didn't put on was Casino. Talk about the business of gambling. Casino is great for that. Like, hyper attention to detail about gambling. It doesn't get mentioned as far as mob movies go, like The Godfather or Goodfellas, which I think is doing it a disservice because it is just as good as both of those movies. It's the best movie about a casino. Gambling takes place in casinos. I just thought it was a little on the nose for me. You talked about Clive Owen getting cast as Bond. He didn't get cast as Bond. Daniel Craig did. Casino Royale. Casino's in the name of the movie. And a large portion of the movie takes place in a casino, but there's just that one card game that they play, which is split up, but I think that's such a phenomenal scene. Bond has played cards against villains in the past before, but the game with him and Le Chiffre, I think it's just great. I think it's shot wonderfully, and I do like the interlude where he basically dies in his car in between rounds and is able to come back from the dead, literally and figuratively, in the game.
I had Rounders, Lock, Stock, and Snatch. Two for the money, McConaughey and Pacino. It's about sports gambling and creating the lines and stuff. Like, it was a better movie than it should have been. DJ Caruso's not great, but it was a competent movie. It was a movie from late 90s or early 2000s called Bookies, starring Nick Stahl, Rachel Lee Cook, Johnny Galecki. It was just about these college kids that started a gambling business, and then the mob caught on to them. And it was a comedy. Like, it was a light comedy, but it had those elements. What I almost jumped into my number four when you mentioned The Cooler was from 1998. I so badly wanted it in my top five. Written and directed by Larry David, starring Craig Bierko and Steven Weber. Sour Grapes. It's so funny and ridiculous. It's very much a Larry David movie. Steven Weber and Craig Bierko just go out for gambling to Atlantic City. Craig Bierko loses everything. He asks Steven Weber for if he can borrow one token to play one last thing on the slot machine, and he ends up winning $400,000 that he, of course, doesn't want to share because he's the one that played it, even though it was Steven Weber's coin. That's a good setup to a movie. That just sounds like a Larry David setup. You throw in Steven Weber and Craig Bierko. It's a funny movie, but I'm sure there are some that we left out. There's a new one on Netflix, that new Jake Johnson, Joe Swanberg movie. I think it's called All or Nothing. Decent. It's a Joe Swanberg movie. he co-wrote it with Jake Johnson. Those two work well together, but it's good. I don't like it as much as these, but it's if you're bored and want to watch a gambling movie because we've been talking about them, it's worth it.
I started thinking when you mentioned like Sour Grapes, like comedies about gambling. I mean, Trading Places, I think, starts with a bet. The two old guys bet each other. Brewster's Millions is basically a bet. He had to spend $30 million in 30 days in order to inherit $300. But if you don't do it, you don't get anything. You can't tell anybody. Like, I feel like there were, in the 80s, that was kind of a plot device for a lot of things. Like, just a bet between two people. The movie plays out the bet. I don't know if it's gambling, but a bet is a gamble.
Bet's gambling. Yeah. And Sour Grapes, the gambling is the beginning of the movie. That sets off everything else. I know that we miss some. I know that
we could
it's
easily,
such a wide thing. Even movies, I mean, so many use gambling or bets as a starting off point. The one that I haven't seen, the new Mississippi Grind, it's got Ryan Reynolds and Ben Mendelsohn, but I'll watch Ben Mendelsohn in anything, so I just haven't checked that out yet. That's it. Halftime show's next week, and then after next week we're going to try some different things. Like, it's still going to be us. Like, we're still doing there's still movies on up episodes. We're just going to try to it feels so formulaic. We're just like, "Oh, movie, stupid list, actor list, movie, stupid list, actor list." So, we're going to try to mix it up a little bit and try to throw some things out there and see if they stick. And if they don't, we'll just go back to movies. Stupid list. Actor movie. But yeah, so we'll be back. It's our halftime show. If you just jumped on, it's just our mid-year. We're going to do our top five of the year so far, then kind of touch on what we're looking forward to the rest of the year, Star Wars. Yeah. But that's it. Until next week.
Keep it up.